Hello and welcome to a brand new series of Grown Up Girls, the Motherhood Edition podcast. I am so excited to bring a new series 3 of the podcast with some incredible guests that you'll hear shortly. The Motherhood Edition is focused on chatting with other mums all about, well, motherhood. We'll be chatting all things birth, pregnancy, routine, nappies, weaning, careers, and so, so much more. I really hope you're able to listen to today's episode with a nice hot cup of tea and some biscuits, and maybe even a sleeping baby beside you. Or maybe you are in a car on a journey and you finally have an hour's peace. Wherever you are listening to the podcast today, I really hope that you can relax and enjoy, but I will warn you that in some of these episodes, there can be some light swearing, so please be aware when listening with little ears nearby. Enjoy! I'm so proud to say that this podcast is sponsored by Baby Bjorn. Now, if you are pregnant or you're a mum, you will have most likely seen or heard of Baby Bjorn. They're a Swedish baby product company that have been loved for generations. Now, when Stanley was a baby, he, like many other babies, had quite bad reflux. He was always quite unsettled when laying flat on his back. One day we went to my sister-in-law's house and I put him in her Baby Bjorn bouncer whilst I just washed up a few dishes. I literally whizzed round because I expected to have to pick him up after a few minutes, as that was the usual when he was lying on his back. But I didn't. He was happy as Larry, bouncing around, kicking his legs, smiling. I honestly couldn't believe it. He was so happy, and I think it was the mix of him sitting slightly upright, the motion that he was creating for himself, kicking his legs, and generally being really comfortable. It was there and then that I knew I had to have this bouncer, and it became a staple part of our days from newborn until around 8 months. The Baby Bjorn bouncer is so easy to move around the house. I used to flip up the base, put it under my arm, and take it upstairs with me so that he could be with me at all times. I used to put him in the bathroom whilst I showered, which he loved, when I was cooking, hanging washing out, and in those early days he would always enjoy a little nap whilst being rocked by my foot. So sweet. I really love that bouncer and it will always be in my top 3 newborn essentials. Thank you, Baby Bjorn, for sponsoring this podcast and for also helping me get stuff done. Hi, and welcome to another episode of the Grown Up Girls, the Motherhood Edition podcast. Today we have a very special guest. I've been so, so excited to welcome her to the podcast, and I'm so glad that she said that she would do it. Hello, welcome, Cyan. How are you?
Hi, I'm very well, thank you. How are you?
Yes, I'm good, thank you. So, those of you who might not know Cyan, she is the moon to the Roo on Moon and Roo on TikTok. And contrary to popular belief, her name is not Moon, it is actually Cyan. And I did say to her before the recording started that I was a little bit nervous that I would end up calling her Moon at some point. But yes, how are you?
Yeah, really good, thank you. Really good. I feel like the days are getting brighter and everything just feels just nice at the moment. Do you know what I mean?
It does. It definitely feels like there's a little bit of spring creeping in, although this always happens. And then because my birthday's in March, it comes to March and it snows. So,
oh,
there we are.
Yeah, that is just around the corner, isn't it? It's definitely going to dip again.
Definitely. So we are going to chat all things motherhood in this podcast, all things weaning, everything really, pregnancy, birth, all sorts of bits and bobs. So let's get into it. Cyan, how was your childhood? Did you have a good one?
I did, you know, I had a really good childhood. I was raised mostly by my mum. My mum and dad weren't together. My mum had me when she was quite young. She just turned 20, but she did an amazing job. And she trained to be a teacher and had her career and raised me alongside that. And so I never really felt like I was missing anything. Had some involvement from my dad's family, mostly like my grandparents and seeing my dad every now and then. But I just felt like I had everything I needed with my mum, to be honest. So I have so many fond memories of childhood. I had a really, I feel quite lucky because I didn't have like a really bad experience of school or anything like that. I loved it all. So yeah, definitely good memories there.
Yeah, that's lovely to hear. So when you were a child, was there any point if you thought, I really want to be a mum, or did it never crop up for you?
Do you know what? I think it's weird. I've never been like overly girly in the sense that like I've never dreamed about like my wedding day or anything like that. But I always just kind of knew that I would be a mum. It's like I never really questioned whether I wanted children. And it's I don't think I'm like the most maternal person, but I do feel like motherhood suits me. And I think I kind of always knew that as I was growing up. Like I just saw it in my future. Yeah. I just didn't really think about how I was going to get there. But I thought, I just assumed one day I would be a mum. So it's definitely always something I've wanted. I think because I kind of waited until my 30s, that was the right thing for me, because I was not like wild, but I had a lot of like just freedom to explore in my 20s and just do all those things. And now I feel like I've done them and I'm ready to just be a mum, which sounds, I feel like a little bit conflicted saying that, because I think there's always a little bit of, well, you shouldn't just be a mum, like blah, 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 blah. And I do get it. And I do feel like there are other parts to my identity, but I'm also quite happy to be at a point where I'm like giving myself over to just being a mum right now. Do you know what I mean?
Oh yeah, I completely agree. It's exactly the kind of thing that I'm in as well. So yeah, I get that. So is there, obviously you've got a Mr. Moon in your life.
There is a Mr. Moon.
He's obviously very quiet on the TikTok side. I know you sometimes commentate on him speaking to Rue and stuff, but how long have you guys been together?
So we've been together for 5 years now. It's quite funny because we actually went to the same gym for like 4 years previous to ever speaking. And I would see him at the gym and I just thought, oh God, what an arrogant guy. Like, because he's so quiet. And I just always assumed it was arrogance. And then when I met him properly, which was on a night out, not the most romantic of events, but he was just like a genuinely shy person.
Mm-hmm.
So something I'd always taken for like, because we saw each other all the time at the gym. He never said hello. He just literally would be doing what he was doing. I thought he was really arrogant, but actually he was just really shy. And he is just a quiet person, which is why he doesn't really feature on TikTok. He's not against it or anything. He just is naturally quiet.
Yeah.
So, I mean, me and Rue are the talkers in the family for sure.
Yeah.
And he just kind of like observes and smiles.
Oh, I love that. I know my husband's the same. Like, he has nothing against anything I do. He just would rather not be featured in it all the time. And you've got to respect their wishes, haven't you? So
no, absolutely.
So what point did you guys decide that you wanted to have a baby? Was it an easy process, or was it something that, you know, took a little bit of time? Or
So again, it was fairly easy. We feel very lucky for that. We'd got engaged, and then the pandemic hit, and any kind of wedding planning, etc., just became pointless really then. At least for like the next little while, we just thought, let's just put that on the back burner. And we decided we were going to start trying for a baby. And literally about 2 days afterwards, I went to a little family event round at my mum's, and my sister announced that she was having a baby. So we just decided we were going to try. They announced it. And so Alex and I sort of said to each other, let's just wait for a little while. Because I know it's, you can't really steal thunder in that way, but you just want to kind of give people their moment. Do you know what I mean?
Yeah.
And me and my sister are really close as well. So it was lovely, but we waited a little while longer, and then we started trying. And I think it took us about 3 months, which is, you know, pretty good. You never know how it's going to fall. And I think I'm an overthinker anyway, so I had a lot of stress about it. But actually, in the end, it was quite straightforward for us, luckily, which obviously we're very thankful for.
Yeah, good. And I bet, what was your first reaction when you saw that positive pregnancy test? Because I still think about it when I first weed on that pregnancy test and looked at it and just thought, what the hell? I had so many different emotions. Did you?
Yeah.
Or were you quite calm?
It's such a weird feeling. Like, I knew that I was pregnant. I just knew, because I was late, and I just could tell, like, my body was pretty much like clockwork before. I was like a week and a half late, I think. And Alex had said to me, okay, if we get to the weekend and you still haven't come on your period, you could do a test, etc. So we decided we'd do it on that Saturday. And even knowing as I did, I still felt so shocked when I looked at the test. It's just like, I don't know. It's really overwhelming. And then I just walked back into the bedroom, showed Alex the test, and we both just like sat there in silence for a little while. I don't know. It's like a little out of body experience, isn't it?
Yeah.
Because you have so many. And then I had this rush of like, oh my God, can we actually do this? Which obviously is way too late to be having that thought. But I think it's quite normal at that moment to be like, have I actually got this in me? So, I mean, it was lovely, but yeah, it's just so overwhelming. And I think it takes like quite a while to process it as well, doesn't it? Like, you keep
definitely,
I'll like be washing up, and then I'd have been like, oh my God, I'm pregnant.
Yeah, 100%. The amount of times I'd be like, am I pregnant? Like, what's going on? No, it is crazy. I definitely had that feeling as well of being like, can we do this? Like, even though literally we've been together for years, everything was fine, I was just like, I don't know if I can be a mom, even though it's everything I wanted to be. But
yeah,
I just don't think that reaction is natural. You're just suddenly like, oh my goodness, all this responsibility, literally in 1 second after peeing on a stick, and suddenly your whole world has changed. It's crazy.
It just feels like such a decisive moment, isn't it? It's like, okay, this is happening now and there's not anything you can do about it. It's like, I mean, obviously there are things you can do about it if you really don't want to be in that situation. But when you know it's what you want, but suddenly there's like a timeline on it and your body's decided now it's happening, you're like, oh my God.
Yeah, crazy. So fast forward to 9 months later and Rue was born. How was your birth?
I had a really good birth, actually. And I mean, I filmed a TikTok the other day about hypnobirthing, just because I feel like that was the reason I had a good birth. There was a bit of a running joke in my family, like with my mum and my sister, that I would be an absolute nightmare in labour. It wasn't a mean joke. I was totally in on it. I absolutely agreed. I thought I was going to be a nightmare. I thought I was going to be like, give me everything you can give me, screaming for hours, because I'm just not like great at things like that. But I did this hypnobirthing course, and I think it really focused my mind just on like the purpose of it all, and that idea that I wanted her to hopefully come into the world in a situation that was quite calm, whether we'd had to have a C-section, emergency C-section, whatever the situation was, like that we actually have a level of control of it being calm. And I just kept my mind on that really, and kept picturing like tiny little fingers and tiny little toes. And it was lovely. She was born really quickly, actually. I didn't even know, on my due date, I didn't even know I was going into labour, that I was already in early labour. Oh, wow. And then I was having contractions. We phoned the midwives and they said, oh no, it's your first baby. You're probably just overreacting, basically. She said to take some paracetamol and try and go to bed. And I was like, no, I'm pretty sure I'm in labour. And then I said, can we come in and get checked anyway? So I went in and I was like 7 centimetres dilated already. She was like, yeah, you can get in the birthing pool.
Wow.
It was all quite quick.
Seven centimetres. Wow. Yeah. You got through all of that with a bit of paracetamol.
That's the thing. She said, you've done really well to do that at home on your own. And I was thinking, I didn't really want to. I did ask if I could come
in. You didn't listen.
But it's just one of those things. I know they must see so many different women and all these, like, it must be horrible to have to send people home again. So I do totally get it. But I am glad that we listened to I listened to my instincts and went in, because otherwise Alex would have had to get his midwife hat on and deliver her at home, which would have been a nightmare.
Yeah. Hypnobirthing is amazing. Did you do an online course or in person?
Yeah, I did an online course. We did the Positive Birthing Company one.
Yeah.
Just because obviously you get the modules and then I knew we could sit through it at our own pace. So yeah, I can't speak highly enough of hypnobirthing really, considering I didn't think that kind of thing would work for me. I don't know. Whenever I say that, I feel like it's me saying like I'm above it, which I don't mean at all. I just mean I find it really hard to switch my brain off and really believe in something like that. But I did, and it worked, and it was great. So I highly recommend it. Literally every time my friends fall pregnant, I'm like, you need to do hypnobirthing.
Oh, completely. I did the same. I did the Positive Birth Company hypnobirthing, which was absolutely brilliant. I definitely recommend that, because like you say, you can do it at your own pace. I used to do it in the bath. I would just do all sorts of things like whenever I got the chance, and it is brilliant, and hypnobirthing is amazing. And I saw something the other day, obviously Molly May, she's had her baby now, but she was talking about hypnobirthing. She was saying, I don't think it's for me. I'm just not going to bother. I'm just going to see what happens on the day. Honestly, I always say to people, my biggest piece of advice was literally use it like you're about to like run a marathon. Like you need to train for it. There's certain things you need in your brain. And I think hypnobirthing is unbelievable. I had an opposite birth to you. I didn't have the water birth that I so desperately wanted. Had a C-section, which I didn't want. But it was so positive and so great. And I honestly put that all down to hypnobirthing.
It's so good. And the fact that you feel like you still had that kind of element of control in it, even though it didn't go to plan, I think that's the main thing. Like, it's just your mindset. And it's easy for people to say like, oh, nothing's going to prepare you for it. But that's a little bit of a lie. Like, I feel hypnobirthing, obviously it can't take you through the whole process, but it does tell you what's coming. I felt a lot more prepared anyway. Huge advocate of it.
Yeah, I don't think anything can prepare you for motherhood, but I do think that things can prepare you for birth, because I think, like you say, it is amazing. It is so good. And I absolutely loved it. So obviously, how was your postpartum period? The time.
I was so worried about the fourth trimester, like on the lead up to Rue being born. I remember saying to my midwife in one of my last appointments, she said, is there anything you're worried about? And I said, just the fourth trimester. Because I'd read up, I'm one of these people that just reads up so much about everything, which you probably can tell from the weaning TikToks, like just too much information sometimes. And I'd read about, well, too many horror stories and too many, you know, baby blues, all these things. I was just so scared. And although, like, I feel like I got off quite lucky in that I actually didn't feel as low as I thought I would. For someone who has suffered with anxiety and depression for quite a long time, like in my earlier life, I thought I was going to be taken back to like a really low place and I was really scared of it. But I think those early days are just about putting one foot in front of the other, aren't they? And trying to like lean on your support network as much as you can.
Yeah.
And in doing that, I didn't feel as bad as I thought I would. And I did enjoy it. Although when I look back at it, I can't remember that much about those very early days. It's such a blur. I do remember thinking like, am I ever going to be back to my normal self of like being able to just wash my hair and do my makeup again? Like that wasn't happening every day. And I was just stressed about the fact that I couldn't do all the normal things. Mm-hmm. But you do get used to it. Just takes time.
Yeah, it definitely does feel a bit of a blur, doesn't it?
And even like, I think back, obviously Rue was just like, you know, when they're a newborn, they're basically just like a little potato. You could put them down anywhere and they'll be there when you get back. But yeah. It's so hard. Like getting used to life with a newborn is so hard. Now that she's on the move and stuff, I'm like, how did I ever find that difficult? It's way more hard now. But actually, it's just all such a massive learning curve, isn't it? Like you say, there's nothing that can prepare you for that bit of motherhood.
No, it's true. And I think everyone finds every stage different. I personally found newborn stage really easy. Not at the time so much. When you're in it, it's hard. But like you say, you look back and you think, oh my goodness, I used to put him down and that was it. And now I'm having to chase him around, trying to him not eat the dog food, splash the water bowl everywhere and, you know, run upstairs. Whereas, yeah, when I look back, it is easier. But I think everyone finds stages different. Like some of my friends, they look at the newborn stage and they're like, it's the worst thing ever. I hated it. I found it so hard. Now I love it. And I think it's all about that, like finding yourself in motherhood is everyone is, you know, finds themselves at different stage. And I think there's a lot of scaremongering, isn't there now? I know you've spoken a little bit about this on your TikTok about how people portray motherhood and people say that's how you're going to feel, but you just don't know.
No, exactly. And I think it is, like you say, just knowing that even if you're not enjoying this one phase of parenthood, whatever's just around the corner might be like your best phase ever.
Yeah.
And do change when you're in it, the days are long and you feel like things aren't going to change. But then you look back and they're so different and they're doing so many different things. I feel like the newborn phase, I enjoyed it, but it's probably the most boring phase in the sense of like it's so repetitive. You're doing a lot of feeding, you're doing a lot of sleeping, well they are, and you know the days are just kind of really similar. Whereas now I feel like I can get out and about with her, like we go to the park, soft play, whatever, and it all just feels a bit more varied. I can definitely see how people maybe don't enjoy the newborn phase as much because it just is stressful, and also that's the bit that I think puts a lot of strain on your relationship, or more strain when you're trying to work out like your parenting styles and or just, I don't know, they don't refill the nappy caddy, whatever it is that just fills you with rage in that moment. I think that's the most stressful bit relationship-wise.
Yeah, I think you're absolutely right. There's nothing like in the middle of the night, like you say, when they don't do something or they haven't done the milk properly or they haven't wrapped a nappy up and they put their foot in it or something. You're just like, sort yourself out.
And it's so, because that person is there, you can just direct all your anger towards them. It's just too easy, isn't it? But yeah, it can be very stressful.
And I definitely remember a few sort of in the night rages at each other.
Yeah, absolutely.
So fast forward again, 6 months and you're weaning Rue. Like obviously you're now a weaning sensation and you're so incredible at it. And I use so many of your recipes for when I'm cooking food for Stanley and myself. I still have many things myself. But how did you go about that? Did you start weaning at 6 months or a little bit earlier or later?
Yeah, so I think it was about a week before she turned 6 months.
Mm-hmm.
She was showing the three signs of readiness. And
can you tell us what they are, please?
I can. So one of them is sitting securely, which is really important for baby-led weaning. And I always feel so uncomfortable when people comment and say, can I start weaning early? Because I just think unless you know you've got those things in place, it could be dangerous. Do you know what I mean? So sitting securely, being able to bring the food to their mouth independently, and the loss of the tongue thrust reflex, which I think is the hardest one to know if your baby has lost that. But basically, if you spoon them a bit of food and they push it straight back out with their tongue, they're not quite ready for weaning yet. Mm-hmm. And if they still have that well into their 6 month mark, then you want to contact like your health physio or a doctor or whatever, and they should be able to guide you with what to do. But she was showing all three things. I mean, she had been interested in our food pretty much since she could open her eyes. I feel like she was constantly mm-hmm. watching us, and she's such a foodie that probably makes perfect sense to you. But yeah, I knew that she was ready. I put it off probably about a week before I thought she might be ready, and I put it off for a bit longer because I did want it to be 6 months ideally. Mm-hmm. But then about a week before, I just started testing her with some little finger foods just on the run up, and then that was it. We started baby led weaning.
Amazing.
Yeah. And the TikTok thing, I mean, it's just been such a crazy, I mean, it's not even been a year yet, but it's been crazy. I'd never, ever could have predicted that it would have turned into what it has. But obviously, it's been really exciting. It's been great.
It's been amazing. Absolutely amazing. So did you start, sorry, just going back, did you do any traditional like purees or anything like that? Or did you just start with baby-led weaning? Because I think there's a definite confusion between new mothers when we're trying to wean our babies, and there's so many of people go like, they message me and I'm not even good at it, and they're like, oh, should I do this or should I do that? And I'm like, well, we've done both. We started with a few purees, and then as my confidence built up, we you know, we did baby led weaning. So did you do any traditional weaning methods?
Yeah, so we, for the first like 2 weeks that Rue was weaning, I did a mixture of purees and baby led. And that was mostly because I felt quite overwhelmed at being prepared for baby-led weaning. At first, it feels like, oh my God, am I going to live in the kitchen now and just be cooking all the time? And what am I going to give them tomorrow? Do you know what I mean?
Yeah.
Whereas like pouches and purees does take some of that mental load away. And I always say to people, you have to choose what works for you. You know, I've had people in my comments say, it can't be baby-led weaning if you've ever spoon-fed them. But I just think that's ridiculous, because nobody's going to tell me that what I've done with Rue isn't baby led. She obviously is doing most of it herself. The fact that I spoon fed her a couple of times in the early days doesn't really take anything away from it. I think people really want to have these like black and white rules around things, and you're either in this camp or that camp, when most people are somewhere in the middle and doing a little bit of both. So we did pouches and baby led weaning meals for about the first 2 weeks, I think. And then she just didn't really like being spoon fed, basically. She was trying to grab the spoon all the time. She wasn't as interested in those meals. So that's when we switched to just baby led, really. I just stopped buying pouches. Mm-hmm. And I think that was obviously what worked for us, but it's different for everybody. You know, the only advice I ever give people is you have to introduce finger foods at some point.
Mm-hmm.
I think people have this idea that you could just put it off and off and off forever, when actually, even if you start with spoon fed, you want to be moving them onto finger foods.
Yeah.
That's just, you know, otherwise they're never going to be eating like an adult.
Yeah.
So, definitely. You know, it's hard. Like, I try to sort of strike the balance of like giving people advice, but I don't want to preach to people. I don't want to tell people what to do with their children. But if they ask me, that's what I would always say. Just do what works for you in the early days. But know in the back of your mind that at some point you've got to get going with the finger foods.
Yeah, definitely. I think it's all fear. It's something I did feel a little bit of fear at the start, but not a huge fear. And I think one thing I did, I don't know if you did this, I went on a first aid course, and they particularly covered a really big section on choking. And when I left there, I suddenly felt all this confidence to be able to give him finger foods.
Yeah.
Did you do anything like that?
I did. I did a baby and child first aid course. And like you say, it gave me a massive amount of just, I don't know, just feeling more like I could handle it. Mm. And also the lady on the course was really good at explaining that like choking risks are minimal. It's just like, if it happens, you want to know what to do. And I always worry, like, people seem to assume that your child's not going to choke on purees, or, you know, they could choke on a toy. So it's just good to know.
Yeah.
What to do in that situation, regardless of what weaning you're going for.
Yeah.
But yeah, baby first aid is something I always recommend to people, because I do think you come away from it feeling just like so much more relaxed, that you could like just take a deep breath and do what you needed to do in that moment. And luckily I haven't needed to use it. I don't know if you feel like you've
So, no, not once. And I've done pretty much baby-led weaning since 6 months, and he's yeah. a year, and obviously Rue's older, and neither of us have. So that is, you know, obviously we're not saying it's not going to happen, but it, you know, it is minimal. It made me laugh when you talk about spoon feeding, because I remember watching a TikTok of Rue eating some soup, and
oh, yeah,
she just looked at you like, "What is this?"
To be fair to her, it wasn't the most attractive soup I'd ever seen, but sometimes the look she gives me is just like, all right, I'll get back in the kitchen then, shall I?
It's hilarious. I am Rue's biggest fangirl, and it cracks me up because you're so funny of your voiceovers. Like, some of the things you say, I just literally, I'm like in stitches, and my husband's like, what are you laughing at? I'm like, oh, I'm watching Moon and Rue on TikTok.
I always say to my partner, I'm like, some people think I'm funny.
He's you
like,
are hilarious. Sure. You are very good. So going on to the whole TikTok thing, obviously you're now at 1 million followers.
Yeah.
Which I bet you just, like, if you think about 1 million people.
It is mad. Like, I try not to think about it because I can't comprehend that in my mind. No. So I just don't think about it at all.
And like, it's not even like you've got 1 million people that, like, you know, that aren't engaged. Like, you've got such an engaged following. Like, people absolutely love watching Rue eat her dinners. And I think it's funny, like, it's not people like me who are weaning their babies, it's everyone.
Yeah, there's a real spread of people, and it's lovely. Like, there's some women who comment who their babies have left home, you know, they're all grown up now, but they're just like reminiscing on the times that they had with them. Yeah. There's a lot of students who use my recipes because they're like really simple. Yeah. And I'm thinking, well, at least you're eating some vegetables. Yeah, it's such a wide range of people, but it's such a positive space for the most part. You know, it's just good vibes, basically.
Yeah,
so I feel very lucky for that.
It is brilliant. I absolutely love it. I think you've done such a good job, even though I don't think you were just chilled with it. It was like something that kind of came out of the blue. But obviously you said there, for the most part, most of the parts, it's good vibes, but some bad vibes, and you get some rotten eggs in the world of social media. So how are you dealing with that? I know I've seen a few of your videos addressing, like, when people have been fat shaming Rue, which just it literally makes me angry to my core even saying that word. But how do you deal with that as a mum?
So I think, in a way, like, I am quite thick-skinned, I suppose, in the sense of something will only really get to me. It will very rarely get to me. Usually I just dismiss people quite quickly. I'll just block people. If people call Rue it in the comments, I hate that. Block. If people, you know, the things that I've addressed, like people fat-shaming Rue, I feel like that's more, I see that as like that's a topic for conversation that needs to be had. If there are people out there that don't know that babies are meant to be chubby, and actually that's quite a healthy thing for them to be, then it's good to have that conversation around it. And then, you know, I'll speak about it, and then that's it. But for the most part, I just ignore people. Mm-hmm. Sometimes, you know, people will still comment and say, like, that baby led weaning is really unsafe and that I'm a terrible mother. I had somebody comment to say that, like, because I did make a video about how we sleep trained Rue, we did some gentle sleep training with her, and somebody commented and said, like, oh, she's going to grow up to resent you, you're an awful person. Like, you do just get people who are just want to be vile. Yeah. But it's easy to ignore them, because I just think, like, in the normal world, would I value that person's opinion? The answer is almost always no.
Yeah.
So I just kind of like block them and move on. But yeah, for the most part, people are lovely. And usually it is just some idiot saying, like, oh, your baby's too fat or something. And I just think, oh, it's just sad that you feel like you can actually write that comment and send it.
Yeah, definitely.
And it's sad always about the world.
Yeah, it's always a projection on them, anything negative.
Yeah.
It's always because they've probably been called something awful or whatever, and they're just projecting it onto other people. It just honestly makes me mad. I don't know how.
No, I know. It is just social media, though, isn't it? And I think people, they're not accountable for what they write. They're not bothered. That person probably leave that comment and move on with their life and just move on to the next thing that they're going to be writing rubbish about. They're not thinking about it again afterwards, so it's just easiest to delete and not think about it myself.
I was going to say that's such a good thing to do, is just think, well, they're not going to worry about it, so I'm not going to worry about it actually, because it doesn't actually matter. And I think anything with motherhood, children, even if you're not on social media, you do get so many comments about how you should be raising your child, how you shouldn't be, don't let them watch TV, don't do baby-led weaning, don't do all these things. And I honestly think that's the best advice, what you said, is if you're not going to value their opinion, which really you should only really value the people with who you love, just move on, leave it, like, just let it go.
No, exactly. And I think you just, like, I try to remind myself just to, like, back myself as a person, because I know that what I'm posting and, like, the information I'm giving out isn't just, like, made up. I haven't just, you know, pulled it from nowhere.
No.
So I just don't feel like in that sense some random person on the internet could just come and throw an opinion in and make me doubt myself.
Yeah.
So I try to just keep that thread going. But there have been times, like, when the whole TikTok thing has just given me so much anxiety, especially when, like, the account had, like, its early accelerated growth. I think I went from, like, 100,000 to 600,000 in a couple of weeks, and I was, like, freaking out about it. Alex is a very, like, pragmatic person, so he just didn't get why I'd be worried about it. I was freaking out. My mum even came over and gave us, like, a mini counselling session, because I just felt really overwhelmed at that moment in time. But actually, I just carried on doing what I was doing. I just thought, well, I'm not going to change anything about what I'm doing. Yeah. I'll just keep going. And that's what I did.
I think it's the vulnerability, isn't it, being on social media. I've definitely had that before. Like, I don't have a following really at all, but the amount of times I've put something on, like, I don't know, you know, Dale's gone to football or whatever, and I'm like, I've got people that follow me and they might think I'm alone and they might know where I live. And it's all that vulnerability about social media, let alone a scale like yours, of going from, you know, that quick, that growth.
Absolutely. And obviously, you know, the account is around ruse weaning, so there's always going to be the people who think that I'm just, like, the biggest criminal on earth because I share my baby online, you know, sharenting, as they'd like to call it. But being a baby, like, babyhood, being a parent is part of the human experience.
Yeah.
And I genuinely wouldn't do it if I thought that in however many years' time, Rue was going to hate my guts for it.
Yeah.
People, you know, people who think like that. I had this horrible comment from some guy, just, like, I had an email from him, an Instagram DM, and just a random YouTube comment, which is weird because Rue rarely ever appears on my YouTube. I hardly even appear on my YouTube because I don't upload. But he had commented to say, like, your child deserves privacy, like, just basically calling me an awful person. And I get where people are coming from with it, but I don't think they're advocating the things they think they're advocating for. Like, you know, if you ask me, people might find it funny, but I think Rue does have privacy. I don't post that much of her life online.
No.
You see 2 minutes a week of her eating a meal, but I don't really share very much else. And that was a conscious choice I made. You know, I used to like doing other types of videos in the very early days. And then when I started to get more followers, I did sort of rein it in a bit because I didn't want to be sharing too much of her life online. I'm not interested in documenting absolutely everything anyway, but I've just stuck to 2 weaning meals a week. But some people seem to think that I share everything or I upload every day, but it's just not true. I know it's not true, so, you know, there's always going to be people who think like that.
Yeah, always. I've never heard the concept sharenting before. That's quite interesting.
It's a word I've seen thrown around in some comment sections, and I know that there are people who do share a lot of their lives, but for any person who shares their family life, there's always going to be a lot of things they're not sharing.
Exactly.
I think this is what people don't realise. There's still those precious moments that are not available to the whole world at all. Like, the ins and outs of your day with your child are not actually shared. Do you know what I mean?
Yeah. And I just think,
choose to share.
Why does it matter in a way? Like, it's not your family. It's not your child. Like, you know, it's our child. Like, we should be able to make the choice for our children, not yours. Okay, cool. So obviously, with all the weaning and everything like that, you have brought out your own range of bibs and merchandise, Moon and Rue merchandise. How is that going?
Yeah, it's been a big learning curve for me. I've never really done anything like that before. my partner is the more business-minded one. Alex is really good at stuff like that. So he was like mostly dealing with the like back and forth to manufacturers and stuff. I just did the making it look pretty stuff. But it's been really exciting. I think it's one of those things, like, we never anticipated having a huge audience, but now that we have, I would love to make something of it if I can build something from it. And again, I wanted it to be like authentic to us. So weaning stuff made the most sense, because I feel like we probably could have brought out loads of stuff that would have sold, but it wouldn't have really felt right. I definitely saw a gap in sort of what was available, and I just decided to go for it and just see how it goes. I'm trying to sort of live a bit more by the mantra that you can just try things, and if it doesn't work out, it doesn't work out, but I'll always be happier that I tried. But yeah, the bibs has been really good. I had a really good response. It was just such a big learning curve for me, learning all the like website, email, funnel, backend stuff, and then customs and manufacturers and all of this stuff. Is like, some of it is way over my head. So I'm quite glad I've got Alex to do those conversations. But no, it's been really good.
Amazing. And what's next? Are you going to bring out anything else? Is anything top secret? Is it all?
Yeah, we've got a few things in the pipeline. I hate it when people say, oh, I can't say anything about it yet. But it's one of those, like, just because nothing is firmed up yet. There's been a few projects that I would love to do that we've just got to put on the back burner for now, because you just can't do everything at once. But definitely some exciting things coming up. We'd like to have a look at a few more products to add to the line and just get sort of the shop ticking over a bit more. Yeah, some exciting things coming. Amazing. That I can't say anything about, because
it's understandable. They're so nice. I think you really have hit the gap in the market, because especially being a boy mum, there's so many bibs out there, but they're all quite garish. So it's really nice you brought some like nice neutral tones, and yeah,
that's exactly what I wanted to go for, because I do like color for children, but I just felt like everything was either like super neutral. I know there's that like sad beige joke about for baby stuff, but I don't mind a sad beige thing. Obviously, they do need some color in their lives. But I would lean more towards neutral things, but I do like color, but I just couldn't find anything that wasn't quite like loud. And that's just not my style at all. Yeah. So I wanted to go for the designs that were like colorful, but neutral. And hopefully, like, the more products we can bring out that are just in line with that will create a bit of a, you know, like, feel on the shop. That's the vibe we're going for, definitely. And just see where it takes us, really.
Yeah, good for you for making use of it. There's so many people that have platforms like that don't, you know, they don't really do anything. So it's good for you to start, you know, creating a business. Is this what you did? You do anything like this before? Obviously, before you became Rue's mama.
No, well, I was a teacher for about 10 years. I started in secondary teaching English, and then I moved to primary. So that was my background, which is so far away from anything businessy. But then when I had Rue, I knew that I couldn't realistically go back to teaching, because it drains you. It's so many hours and so much emotional energy to go to the job. I just couldn't imagine doing it and coming home to my own child. Mm-hmm. So I did a copywriting course and actually went into doing some copywriting stuff. And I think all of those things together have set me up quite well for what we do now. I definitely feel like my teaching experience comes into like what I do on the TikTok. So I'm just taking information that people find overwhelming and like packaging it up in a way that's more accessible.
Yeah.
So that kind of comes naturally to me, I guess. And then obviously the copywriting stuff has helped with some of the more marketing-y bits for the business. I mean, I've still got so much to learn. There were so many things, just even getting used to like Shopify and stuff. Alex would be like, oh, have you sorted this out? Have you sorted this out? And I was like, I actually don't know what you're talking about.
I'm just the face of it all. I don't need to be doing all that.
I've just never, ever been in that world, like at all. So definitely some huge learning curves. I think I've got the skills in there somewhere. I just need to hone them a little bit more.
Yeah. No, definitely. Well, not everyone's good at everything. You are very good. I agree with the way that you package up information, because I'm currently going through an ADHD diagnosis. So I'm not very good at looking at big bits of information. Like, I literally just go switch off, done, bye. Yeah. Whereas that's why I love your TikTok, because you're like, right, today's Rue's having, and it's just like easy, you know, chunk size bites of information that I can just take in.
Yeah. And I think more and more people are, that's the way we consume information now, isn't it? Like a lot of people do not want to sit and read like blogs and go and find information.
No.
I'm just a sponge for that kind of stuff. Like I enjoy it, and then I enjoy packaging it up in a way that's clearer. And I have quite a lot of like young mums and stuff follow me, and I just think, why shouldn't they still get that information on TikTok? Because at the end of the day, it's benefiting the babies, hopefully, which can only be a good thing.
I think you're so right. Like, think of the amount of baby, the amount of mums, but in turn, the amount of babies that you've helped, you know, eat well.
So.
Yeah, you definitely have, 100%. Because I think beforehand, I don't know about like what your mum and sister or whatever, but like my mum's generation were very pouch driven purees. Like, she thinks I'm wild. Like, she's like, why? She's like, you're giving him that. And like, I made him like this dal last night, and she ate it. She was like, that's so nice. So I never used to give you anything like that. And I felt like that was kind of tinged with a bit of guilt. But I said, Mum, you did not have access to the resources that we have now. We have everything on our phones, able to make all of this stuff. And obviously, if you don't make it all, this isn't a, you know, don't worry if you don't do all of that. But we do have access to it, and it is easier.
No, exactly. And I think it's one of those, like, you don't have to be a good cook to be a good mum. You don't have to be great at like all these activities or whatever. But if just one day a week you can go and steal someone else's ideas, why wouldn't you? Like, it just makes sense. There's so many things I see on TikTok that I think, I never would have thought of doing that. And I studied child development and I've worked with children. So it's just great, like stealing other people's ideas and taking that like stress away from what you actually have to come up with yourself.
Yeah.
It's just easier.
Definitely. Have you found meal ideas off TikTok?
I didn't on TikTok particularly. I saw a couple of, like, before I started my page, I followed a few on Instagram, which I found really helpful. And I loved the videos where I could see the baby eating it as well. And I just wished it had been there from like for that baby from start to finish, which is kind of why I decided to do my channel. So I kind of get meal ideas from here, there and everywhere, but mostly it's like just thinking about what I would want to eat and then how do I tailor that to being baby friendly and making it really simple. I do love cooking, but I don't love the idea of like every day having really complicated recipe to do that's got like loads of ingredients. I just need it to be simple, otherwise I'm not doing it. It's going to be toast again.
Definitely. So it's the overwhelming nature of it, isn't it? You look at it and you're like, I haven't got half of these things, I don't want to go and buy them all.
Absolutely. So hopefully, well, what I hope is that people, you know, if they come across my page, they just see that it can be easy and it can be straightforward.
Yeah.
And you can get all the nutrients that your baby needs in like quite simple dishes.
Yeah. We need all of that in a cookbook, please.
I can't
Hopefully
say anything.
That is coming one
day. I
can't
say anything on that front.
That would be amazing. Thank you. I will be your first customer. Ka-ching.
Thanks, Holly.
So amazing. I'm literally so glad we had this chat. It's been so lovely to get to know you a little bit more as well. Obviously, we don't know Rue, but we see Rue eat every day and it's so lovely. So it's really nice to get to know you as well. And yeah, thank you so much for coming on the podcast. I really appreciate it.
Oh, no worries. Thank you for having me. It's been really fun.
Cool. Well, I'll put everything down below, all the links to Moon and Rue TikTok, to YouTube, everything. So you can go and check it all out. And yeah, hopefully we'll see what's coming next. I'm excited.
Thanks.
Thank you.